You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. It's hump day. Hump day Wednesday. Get to get over the hump. Hope you get a chance at all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And hoping, too, the weather was, whew.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
It is really cold here in Atlanta. But it's cold all over east of the Mississippi. You know, it's been below zero. Some of those days below zero in the Midwest. And so it is what it is. It's climate change. Oh, Brother Oshie, climate change is supposed to be hot. Ain't supposed to be real cold. No, it's weather extremes. And the fact that because of climate change, the polar vortex, used to stay up in northern parts of, you know, Canada, Alaska, in that area. Now it comes down. Cold temperatures all the way into the Gulf area. Yeah. So it is what it is. And so we have to deal with it. And the fact that those, particularly those who make money and tons of money off fossil fuels, you know, they don't want to give that up. But also, too, a good argument just happened because of this extreme cold weather. The electric cars, the batteries, some people are waiting hours, and it takes hours to charge up their electric cars. Obviously, they have to come up with better ways to deal with electric cars, because if this is going to be the case, then you're going to need a gasoline operated car along with your electric car for seriously inclement weather, particularly extreme cold. That doesn't make sense, does it? No, it doesn't. Yeah. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And other program we have here on African Perspectives, this program, and on Thursdays from 7 to 8, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. And then on Fridays at 8 p.m. on Fridays, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, Time for an Awakening. Saturday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, that's my guest today, is Brother Bomani Tayemba. So I'm not going to get off into that. We'll get off into that when we have our chance to have conversation over the air. Africa for the Africans, brothers and sisters. Right on. Habesha Incorporated, of course, they're having the celebration of 22 years of reparative
Agriculture at the Art Exchange, and that's going to be February 3rd. That's right, February 3rd, the Art Exchange, Habashaw, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. From Saturday, February 3rd, from 4 to 8 p.m., we'll definitely be there. Great organization. Love the work that they do. LEDGE, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Of course, LEDGE works in the four areas of human necessity: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries on the continent. With over 170 employed and over 260 members, brothers and sisters, become a member of the LEDGE Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Abibiatumi, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I, abibiatumi.com. They're having their seminar this weekend from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Ghana time, of course. And, of course, if you go back 5 hours, that's Eastern time. So it's at 2 p.m. Ghana time on this Saturday. Current repatriation and liberation efforts in Sierra Leone. And Brother Jamu, Mensa Jamu, reports on the current repatriation and liberation efforts in Sierra Leone this Saturday on Abibiatumi, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I, abibiatumi.com. So, yeah. Smile Pharmacy, S-M-A-I-F-A-R-M-A-C-Y. Smile Pharmacy, brothers and sisters, go to the website. Brother Jabril has so many more, an array of items and holistic items, herbal teas, all kinds of good stuff. Brother Jabril, you want to give him a call? Give him a call at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. Smai Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY at gmail.com. The Minister of Wellness, Nathaniel Jordan. That's right. We promote the Minister of Wellness here. And he has, he's going to be going to Tanzania. No, Kenya. I apologize. He's going to be going to Kenya very soon. And when he comes back from that, we'll talk with the Minister of Wellness. But go to theministerofwellness.com. The Minister of Wellness. They have all kinds of good information, all kinds of products, and great things that he is doing. The Minister of Wellness. The Moses West Foundation. Brothers and sisters, Moses West. Water is free. Water's got to be free. But this is a humanitarian effort. Water is free. And the website is just great. Go to MosesWestFoundation.org. A lot of new changes on the website, thanks to Brother Apollo, and all the good information that you can digest about the humanitarian aid effort globally, and how you can make contributions. And I ask you to make contributions to the Moses West Foundation. All right. Well, Dada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta, on Ralph David Abernathy, across the street from Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, down the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, is Wadada's. And, of course, up one block up the street from Wadada's is the West End Mall and Lee Street and Afrocentrics, all that good stuff in that area that is being targeted for gentrification. Yeah. But Wadada's has Healthy Market and Juice Bar with smoothies and fruit drinks and holistic products and so forth. Check out Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia, give her a call. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, and all kinds of good stuff. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. I saw a piece on Facebook with Brother Gazemde being upset he's a Dallas fan. Sorry, bro. I'm not a Packer fan, but damn, they got their Dallas got their ass whooped. Love it. Brother and sister, Brother Kazim Diajama, the owner and operator of the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar located in Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta, off of I-20. Take I-20 going east. Exit 74, make a left. Now you're headed north about a mile. On the left will be Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Give Brother Gazimdi a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. Brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your ride. Head back to up other direction. Now you're going south. Make another left. Jump back on I-20 East. The next exit, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Take that exit, make a right, go past three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. All right. Us lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Tomorrow, Thursday, is their Thursday night broadcast from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. BlogTalkRadio.com. Go to BlogTalkRadio.com/ULU for the broadcast. If you want to listen, just dial 929-477-2789. You can listen or give questions, comments, or concerns by dialing 929-477-2789. Us, lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people. In the spirit of Ujamaa. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop. Brother Abijah, open Tuesdays through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. in Macon, Georgia. Brother, he has it all. He's got black soap, holistic health products, beauty products, oils, incense, CDs, DVDs, literature, jewelry, Pan-African furniture, Pan-African fashions, and so much more. Oh, he also has a vegan restaurant on the premise. He's got it, man. Give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Contact my good sister Shelly Amonset at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Haiti, the great work that Sister Gabby is doing with the children in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. See for yourself. Go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay dash Haiti.org. The Ackerman, Baba Baruti, Mama Yah, deserve our support with the work that they're doing. Baba Baruti has a course. He has three courses, online courses coming up in February, once every Saturday, and again in May, and again in August. The one in February is Osafo, the Warriors, Osafo, and that's February 7th through the 28th, each weekend. Okay? Check them out. Baba Baruti. Yeah, I sent Brother Irv an attachment because Baba Baruti will be in Baltimore. I want to make sure Brother Irv makes the connection, that's for sure. If he's in town, you know, because Brother Irv be all over, dude. It's my guy. The Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. January 16th, violence was an intrinsic component of these strategies, whether on the part of the direct victims or of the larger population. If nothing else, the need for shackles, guns, ropes, chains, iron balls, whips, and cannons that sustained a venerable European Union of slave trade-related jobs eloquently tells a story of opposition from the hinterland to the high seas. A change in the appearance of or behavior is not necessarily indicative of a conversion of the heart, especially when it comes to individual representatives of a people always searched into the collective historical patterns for their truth. Never trust an individual with a people's thought and behavior. Do not confuse a sapling enthusiastic turning of, to the sun or the same slower and more mature movement of the forces in which it exists today with the expansive, intrusive movement of its countless previous genetically entwined generations. The nutrients out of which it new trees gain the energy to sprout and develop come from the fertilizer formed from the remains of its past trees. So only by studying backwards can you ascertain the force's truth. Similarly, for human growth, for human groups, or those pretending to be, only historical patterns will reveal true intent and character. Unlike what they may individually or collectively say or do now in order to manage your impression of them, their historical patterns do not lie. It is there. Affirm, I remain in opposition of Urugu's intrusive, genocidal, enslaving assault. Ashe. Affirm, I remain in opposition to Urugu's intrusive, genocidal, enslaving assault. January 17th. In this so-called modern world of advanced technology, people are allowed to do what they feel. Say what they feel, hide behind a screen name, and violate any codes that they feel without even the slightest thought of any type of repercussions or consequences. Why? Because there are absolutely no rules, that there is no accountability. You don't have to be sworn, you say, you are to be respected. You don't have to have been sworn. You are to be respected as such. All you have to do is look good on the internet and dress the part. Anyone can speak on whatever they like, even if they have no knowledge of the subject. Just look the part and act like you might know something. Brother Kalonji Chenga. Good brother, Brother Kalonji Chenga here in Atlanta. Real good brother. Just because someone is not paid by the state or employed in an agency dedicated to our genocide does not mean that he or she is not an agent. Some of these agents receive no instruction or financial support from them, from Urugu. Most have never been officially affiliated with any other offices or operations. In fact, some of Urugu's best agents do not even know that they are agents. That's how deep it is. Affirm, I do not hide behind the screen. Affirm, I do not hide behind the screen. Their behavior is such that it might have been passed down the line. They daddy, they mama, they grandparents, and great-grandparents and so forth and so on were sellouts and traitors, and they, of course, followed suit. Yeah, they follow suit. Like I said, today we're going to have Brother Bomani Tayemba of Africa for the Africans. You know, I tell you, appreciate Brother Bomani. I haven't gone on a trip with him yet, but I've used his services. I used, his website. Because on the website of Africa for the Africans family, you know, he has everything you need. He has all the documentation, all the information, the shots, where you're going to go, and all the things that you need. It's all right there. You know, Brother Bomani Tayemba, it's all right there. So I told him to come on about now, so he will be coming on soon. And we'll have a good conversation with Brother Bomani. And he's going to Liberia and Morocco in March 29th to April 9th. He just came back from Azania. And Then he's going to be going to Ghana, July 11th through the 23rd. Then he's going to be going to Kemet, November 21st to December 2nd. Then he's going back to Azania, December 24th through the 4th, the same time frame he went this year or late last year. You know. And then April 1st to April 11th, 2025, Senegal and Gambia. May 24th to June 5th to Ghana. November 21st to December 1st, 2025, Brazil. And there will be other trips sliding in between those dates, you know. And I'm really thankful that the brother does this, and I'm really thankful that many brothers and sisters have taken advantage. And he's competitive in price. In fact, in many cases, he beats the price, you know, because he would love for you to go on the trip, you know. I looked at some trips by some of the scholars, and they're a lot more. That's all I can say. They're a lot more than what Brother Bomani is asking. And I don't, you know, I don't know. I had some mixed reviews about Brother Bomani. I don't want to get off into that, honestly. But let's hope that whatever problems that there have been, they have been corrected. Because what we want to do, particularly on this program, if we promote something, we want to make sure that what we promote, they do, in fact, the best job that they can. You know, they do the best job that they can. I don't know circumstances, but I'll say this. The safety of the people who are going on the tour, the information provided, all the things that are stated that you're going to do, you do. You know. So, you know, to me, that's just paramount. You know, if I'm asking and inviting people to come on a trip of a lifetime, and even though I might be economically competitive, but that doesn't mean I'm not as thorough and I'm not as informative in terms of my tour. And to give you the information that is there for you. So, you know. Yeah. And, of course, the cost of the tours, when he posts them, if you make a move to begin to pay on it, that is the price that, you know, you're going to be paying. And with Brother Bomani at this time, anywhere between 4,000 and I think the most is 4,800. The trip to South Africa. But of course, that could be going up another $200 to $5,000. That's the highest. Everything else is about 4,000. The Brazil trip is 4,000. Tanzania is 42, South Africa is 46, but the trip in the 2025 is 48. That trip is already over, you know. To Ghana, 4,400. Kemet, 4,500. Senegal and Gambia in 2025, 44. And then Ghana is 44. It was, yeah, still 44. So, you know. And once you lock into that price, you pay on it. You know, put a nice down payment down and pay on it on a monthly basis somewhere. So it doesn't, you know, hurt you. Then now you have built up cash as well for you to, you know, take with you on the trip. And you have a great trip. Have a great time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want to welcome my good brother, my friend, Brother Bomani Tayemba for Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani, good morning.
Greetings, Brother Oshi. Good day, brother. How you feeling? Happy 2024.
That's right. I'm doing well, man. What about you?
Yes, I'm doing well. Just got back from an incredible 2023 schedule across Africa, five countries, and just getting ready for another same schedule this year.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Now, I want to thank you as always for providing these opportunities for our people to connect, to go home, to see for themselves how things are on the continent, you know, and to experience, you know, and to make connections and possibly invest or even repatriate, you know. So that's just great, man. I appreciate that. I appreciate you for that. But yeah.
Oh, yes. In a global world that we live in, when you go everywhere, you know, you see a typical group of different people. You see Chinese, you see Indians, you see members of different Arab nations. And, you know, and in America, you know, you see Mexicans, and you just see all different nations and race of people, and what they're doing, they're all doing one similar thing. They're all making a connection from their homeland to whatever diaspora they are in, right, and making their home nation strong. And then they're also competing on the global scale. And that's what I see every time I travel across Africa. All the groups that I've mentioned, with the exception of the Mexicans, they're all over Africa. Mm-hmm. And that's what they do at enterprising. So the same way they're enterprising and making connections and networking and taking advantage of the opportunities in Africa, the same thing we as a people have to do. The only difference is, you know, we have that natural connection as far as that's our motherland.
Right.
And that's our people that we've been divided and split apart from. So now this gives us a chance also to create a reconnection. You know, even just simply just doing a tour to Africa and you making it as Black power and Black culture as possible, you know, it changes the dynamics. You're going places and, you're from your shopping to dining to lodging to, you know, doing tours to this networking, you know, you meet people, you connect with people. Next thing you know, you have like what we have built in Ghana, the way you have a ridiculous amount of people moving, living, doing business, and people who we have even inspired beyond us, the people that we've taken physically to, you know, to Ghana and physically connect them to our community, Black Star. People are taking that energy along, other energy, and, you know, you're seeing a phenomenal this connection in Africa. But at the same time, too, we do have to take it to another level, because we're definitely not organized on the African continent as far as unique people working together to just make things more impactful and, you know, open things up for more of us to come and add to that connection to where we can now work with our own people in Africa and literally just put our energy together and compete with the likes of the foreigners and the international people that are dominating the different countries.
Right. And I think that's why what you're doing is vitally important, because we need to do that. I mean, we must remove all the foreigners out of Africa. Those resources are ours. That land is ours. I'm talking about Africans, not, you know, I'm not talking about some idea of African Americans like it was when we went into Africa in Liberia, you know, and creating Liberia and having an attitude that we're better because we have some Caucasian blood in us and we're from America. And then the Africans, oh, we're better, even though we were not enslaved, but we were colonized, but we're better, you know. And so those divisions, and I'm quite sure the people who love to keep divisions up and divide and conquer, the Europeans loved that and had them at each other, as opposed to coming there and saying, hey, let's work together. What you know, what I know, let's melt that together and then build here in Liberia and build here in West Africa, you know. And because, you know, Kwame Nkrumah, you know, understood very keenly and was very aware at being the first country to gain independence in 1957. You know, he understood it wasn't about Ghana. It's not about Nigeria or Cameroon. It is about Africa. We need to unite Africa. It's not about one country or two countries or what region. No, it's Africa, period. You know? And you got the biggest move, I think, and you correct me, Brother Bomani, if I'm wrong, but the biggest move really is the Chinese into Africa. What do you think?
Yes, Chinese, but I would say the Indians, because they're more physically in the environments. Like, I was in South Africa, and you could see this a whole lot of different Indian groups. The same thing as when I was in Tanzania in November last year. So that's what you see as far as the physical being. But as far as the investment and the domination of the investment in the business sector, it has to be the Chinese, because they're giving you an all-inclusive package. You know what I mean? And you know, for whatever the trade-off with whatever resources or whatever, they're bringing in their people, talented, well-skilled people. They're bringing in the machines, and they're bringing in the finance. So that ends up still being the number one and two groups that we see that's literally dominating Africa. And a lot of opportunities that they're taking advantage of is opportunities that we as a people in the Americas or in the diaspora or just black people in general across the black world can take advantage of. But it's not as simple, because when you're talking about China and you're talking about India, you're talking about world powers that are backed, you know, they're backed by a nation that support what they're doing in Africa. I can't necessarily ever say that America is supportive of what us as black people are doing in Africa.
No, I don't think so.
So that's one of the big advantages that those two nations have over us.
Right.
You know, we don't have our own nation that's supportive of us to do. So we have to scramble and kind of figure it out together. And that's why the networking is important. I've been in relationships with brothers and sisters in Africa and here. But, you know, you end up still having this world of division and you're trying to fight your way through it and figure it out. But, you know that not every one of us are going to be down with, you know, the programs you're doing. You're going to have haters and things like that. But the common goal is to find common energy to where we can just compete. It's unacceptable to just not compete. And because we're at the point where, from Jamaica and the same nations I mentioned, India and China, two of the most dominant force. So we have to have a global Pan-African connection. I know some people may not always be into Pan-Africanism. Some people are confused about it, but that's the solution to compete and fix the issues of being dominated.
That's it. This program, African Perspectives here, our motto is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. You know, we talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people, and the only place that we truly can be sovereign is on the African continent. That's the only place. Everywhere else, there's a challenge. But on the continent, yes, there is a challenge, but it is ours. It is ours. The only thing we got to do is come into our right minds and reclaim it. You know, you mentioned the Indians, you know. The Indian population is huge, over a billion people, just as much as the brothers and sisters on the continent of Africa. And you see the huge difference in size of India as opposed to the African continent. And, of course, there's an intellectual class in India who have been educated in the West, you know. And I know the Indians are trying to take back Uganda, you know, after they were expelled by Idi Amin many decades ago, and they're trying to reclaim Uganda. Is that something that you are aware of, Brother Bomani?
I'm not aware of the Uganda part, but I'm familiar with the history with Idi Amin and putting the Asians out. What they end up doing is, remobilizing. So you're talking about Kenya, you're talking about Tanzania, you're talking about other parts of East Africa. So those who didn't go back to India or go back to the UK or other places, they moved around to those other countries, and they built alliance with the government, they built alliance with the people, and the people supported them. And today, now, they're the most dominant force. Uh, Just got back from Tanzania in November, and you know, even while we're doing our tour, we're driving around. You know, the tour guide would explain to us that this portion of the city is dominated by Indian investments and real estate, and also people. And you know, it's like kind of their own private community that they built from the ground up. So that's all I did, you know, with India. I mean, put them out. It just made them stronger across other parts of, you know, East Africa. So for them to be coming back and being more dominant in Uganda, I can definitely see that.
And see, and what's surprising is that we can't do that anywhere. We can't do that. Africans can't go into another country. We couldn't go into India as poverty-stricken as many areas of India, you know, Calcutta or Mumbai and so forth.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. It's just the world see Africa as this open market. Mm-hmm. And since they don't see the Africans in the diaspora and Africans in the continent really mobilizing to build business and investments and infrastructure and industries, they see it as their opportunity as dominant forces. You know, you mentioned the population of China and India. So what you do with a population like that, you already know that your country is overpopulated. You disperse them across the entire world and give them all the resources that they need to dominate those other nations. A very ingenious plan. The issue is that we should have been the one more so doing that from Africa to, you know, to the rest of the world. But unfortunately, when you're dominated by colonization across the continent, with the exception of one or two countries, you know, it's hard to recover from that. And then when you get independence, the same people that dominated your nations are the same people that you end up needing back in your nations to run industries and do certain things. So you just had a mercy to the things that have this, you know, that just, you know, kind of just fell apart. But at the same time, too, you know, you're in a modern 21st century, and no one is gonna, you know, no one is gonna care about those things. They, you know, they're gonna look at it like, hey, we're coming in and we're gonna do these things since no one else is doing it and no one else is there to compete against us. So that's why the rise of Black America and connecting to Africa is so important. And that's why we do these journeys and we push this connection. And the only issue is that you just get so much, bad energy from some of your people telling you that we need to focus on America. We need to focus on America. So I'm always telling them, why don't you galvanize all the people that you know to get them to focus on America and let those of us that's trying to build an international connection, build it so we can do trades and investment back and forth. It's a win situation, but you got all this, bad energy, and you just got to keep on fighting through it. We have to believe that we can make this connection and become a stronger people together. Other than that, you know, we're going to be dominated across the entire world, including America. You see all the neighborhoods that are all the primarily Black, Black dominated neighborhoods. When we step outside, we have everyone else that owns the real estate, everyone else that owns the stores, the shops, the gas station, and basically the money flow coming in and out. And it's the same thing in Africa. So that's why it's a need for the call for, you know, real Pan-Africanism.
And that's what I'm saying. You know, if it's to me here in the States, you know, when the people outside of us and various countries, the Indians, the Arabs and so forth, started moving into our communities in the 70s. Because, you know, we had them for a minute. The older Caucasians, the European Jews and other ethnics had them. And then we started to get them. We started moving into those neighborhoods, you know, but didn't last long. Because in the 70s, Arabs, Indians, and various other groups started moving, Koreans started moving into our neighborhood and taking over the business, and we were buying from them. You know, in fact, what was interesting, the Arabs, even though they can't even touch pork, but they sell your ass some pork, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Commerce and business, you know? Some of them don't believe in smoking cigars and tobacco and all those things. But they would definitely sell it to you.
Yep. And sell it to your kids. You know? They ain't got no problem with it. You know? And so instead of us saying, hey, whoa, wait a minute. Let us change this dynamic. Let us come together, pull our resources. Let us buy some supermarkets. Let us do this, that, and the other. And even some of us that did, they were not supported. You know, they were not supported. And so today, you know, I was just in Milwaukee late last year, about October, you know, so maybe before then. And some of the stores that we once had, they're now run by Indians, Koreans, so forth. All of the, we don't even have one beauty supply store. We used to have a number of them. We don't even have one. They have all the beauty supply stores in Milwaukee. And so, you know, we don't understand how important it is for us to put petty differences aside and come together and pull our resources and do for ourselves and to build business for ourselves, you know, here and, but more importantly, on the continent. On the continent. Here, you see, if you can do that. People come from other countries and come into our community. They can do that. The government will allow them. They ain't too much that we can say. The only thing that we can do is not buy from them, but we eventually do. But that would be the thing.
Yes, because you need what you need, and sometimes you need for a certain price and all those different factors. Mm-hmm. And they, one thing they do is they put themselves in a situation to dominate, to where whatever you need, you have to get it from them. And so whether it's them working together to put their money together to buy bulk supplies and be able to just offer it cheaper and to be able to even open up more stores and make it more accessible, all those strategies are things that, you know, we just can't look at it as this, you know, as a loss. We have to look at it as, you know, we just have to double up or triple up and compete.
Yeah.
And compete means many different things. It means also focusing on doing your best to support Black-owned business. That's always one of the number one things that we have to push.
Yes.
And that's how we build our enterprise, by getting Black customers, because there's no bunch of magical white people that's going to be calling you to do anything with you. As a matter of fact, the Blacker they see you are, the less likely they want to do anything with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean,
whether in the physical complexion or just in the culture.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like for you, I admire you and respect you. And I know that you don't allow Caucasians, anybody outside of us, to go on your trips of a lifetime. You know?
Yeah, it's just us. It's, you know, and, you know, they'll get that energy as soon as they see the website or see anything. And, you know, if a group of them want to do certain things, you know, we can make arrangements for them, because the people in the countries that we deal with, or, you know, or partners, you mm-hmm. know, they're open to those things. So, you know, you can make arrangements, but that's the best I can do. But
right.
It's just you're trying to spend time to connect with us as a people so we can do the things
right.
I talk about doing.
Right.
As far as, it's hard for us to just come together doing a bunch of investments and doing a bunch of things, and we haven't connected together and we haven't been to Africa and things like that. So those are things that open up that world. So while we're on that journey, we need to focus on our reconnection. We don't need any disturbance or distraction
exactly.
or one person just, you know, because one person just doing what they usually do, you know, they just, you know, they just try to
cause dissension. Cause dissension.
Yeah,
just cause.
Yeah,
just throwing all kind
yeah,
of bull.
Yeah, garner attention mm-hmm. and things like that. Or I'm just, you know, do the things that you know, like white women do or white men do and things like that. And you know, just it's a distraction. So that's the
mm-hmm.
purpose of that directly. And
mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
and it's no disrespect to anyone, but you know, I'm honest, and you know, we tell people that
yes.
this is a roots and culture journey for, you know, for the Africans of the world.
Mm-hmm. And believe me, brother, you know, once we can make this click, man, it's going to, it has to, for our very survival. But once it does, you know, it'll start growing, and we'll start being able to trust one another, believe in one another, work with one another, pull our resources, you know, and begin to do for ourselves. And man, you know, the beauty of that is everything that we do, we're doing it. We're educating our banking system, our hospital. Everything is independent of anybody else. We're going to do it for ourselves. You know, we ain't relying on anybody else. We ain't asking anybody for permission. We're doing it ourselves. And that's how we have to do it. You know, if we're going to be a people who are going to be competitive, in the future world. And the sad thing is that we got the resources to be that. It ain't like, you know, we don't have nothing. We got what we need. The only thing we don't have, of course, is our right minds. Yeah. We have what we need, you know. I mean, when you look at, there's a mineral in Haiti, iridium. Have you heard of it?
No, not familiar with it.
Yeah. There's a mineral, it's in Haiti, and I believe in South Africa. And its cost is really out there, iridium. And I was listening to a presentation by a sister from Haiti talking about it. It's just like, and of course, what it reminds you of is the Black Panther, Wakanda, you know, vibranium, you know. It's the only place. And it's and what it can do and what it does is just phenomenal. And we have it. And we have it. But we also have gold and diamonds and bauxite and all these other minerals. I mean, all the things that happen. I have these computers in front of my face and this cell phone and all the things that we're doing. All of that, the root of it is us. The root of that working, how it can work, is us. The titanium, the cobalt, you know, all those things are plentiful in Africa, you know. So that's why, to me, what you're doing is more vitally important, because it's not just words, not just talking about it. The brothers and sisters have a opportunity to physically go there and see for themselves, you know, to spend 10, 14 days, you know, 2 weeks in being immersed into the culture and all the other things that are happening. They could see and feel for themselves how important it is, and how if we could unify seriously, you know, how devastating and how great we would be. But, you know, you got a whole bunch of people who want what we have. Did you ever check out, I mentioned this to many people, Brother Bomani, did you ever check out online on YouTube this Caucasian named Howard Nichols?
No, I have not. Howard Nichols. What is he talking about?
Yeah, Howard Nichols. And Howard, he talks about why we must keep Africa poor.
Right.
Why we must keep Africa poor.
I may have seen his videos, but not recognize his name. Because, you know,
yeah. He talks about why Africa must not develop anything. They must not be able to produce anything, you know. They can have all the, you know, base resources, but they can't, just like finished products. They can't, they can have the coca, but they're not going to have chocolate, you know. They're not.
Yeah, and I hear what he's saying. It's the same oppressive situation that, you know, from colonization to neocolonization. It's unfortunate, but that's their game plan, and you know, he's doing nothing but just, you know, explaining it verbally to people, and you know, we see it play out all the time. So that's why we, as a people, the rest of the Black African world, as a people, have to look at Africa as our focus point as far as this connecting and making moves. That way, we can build those things that we need to build, because, you know, that makes sense for them. It's best for them to invest in Asia and other parts of the world and build factories, build industries, and build proper infrastructure. Because if they build Africa up, I guess they feel like they won't get access to steel and all the resources that they need to keep their life in Europe luxury and keep their industries going across the world. So it's unfortunate, and that's what I mean about competition. Is like, when you're competing with someone else, they don't, you know, they're going to use every single tactics and strategy to defeat and dominate you. And, you know, just like the world of sports or the world of this, any kind of competition. So that's what we have to learn, to become this competitive. And it's you know, it's it sounds good, but it's not as simple. You're talking about trying to get groups of Black people that's consistently being divided by race, culture, politics, complexion, all kind of foolishness nonstop. And that's the fight that we have every day. And it's like, it's a fight that you have to just get up and say, you know, it's worth fighting for us to make these moves. And this is our part that we play in that connection. And so far, so good. You know, we have a nice energy of people living in different parts of Africa. That's more so like pioneers, but you know, we have to give them that support and invest in them also to, you know, to make them more impactful and to do the competing I talk about doing. And beyond that, these folks are going to keep on us running the same game. And it's just up to us to just fight against it. Other than that, you know, yeah, by the time we turn around, you know, you're going to be looking like Africa is going to be looking like how the rest of Africa is going to look like South Africa, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
Yeah. How was your trip to Azania? You know, I haven't had a desire to go to Azania because of the Caucasian constant influence in Azania. The apartheid is just as real today as it was prior to the release of Nelson Mandela and the presidency of Nelson Mandela.
Oh, absolutely. We can definitely get into that without a doubt. It's alive and well. The main thing I would say about South Africa is the incredible Soweto, to where, you know, where we built a nice, nice township out of nothing, out of struggle, out of being, you know, put in an apartheid situation. So going back there to pay homage, pay love, pay respect, you know, support both museums and to support the people of Soweto and, you know, be a part of their, you know, their nightlife and be a part of us shopping, enjoying dining and just trying to share some of our documentation. You know, it was a good start. It's been a while since we've been there. Last time was November 2019. But also, you know, it's also a good getaway. But it basically, so what South Africa does to me all the time, it brings me back into the importance of West Africa, the importance of us building the things that we need to build so we can, you know, we cannot just talk about, oh, we have nice infrastructure, we have nice things, but then we have no ownership in the country. A lot of what you see is this rich white real estate. You have neighborhoods that's just all white, like literally just foreigners from different countries who just purchase all the real estate and they live in communities by themselves, all white people. And that's the nature of what you see in the Africa that is coming unless we do what we need to do. So, you know, when people talk down about Pan-Africanism and talk about us staying more focused in America, this is what you lose in stake of not supporting Pan-Africanism and not supporting us connecting to Africa. You begin to see an Africa where everything is just, you know, dominated by everyone. And then, you know, you have rich elite neighborhoods full of just other people while, you know, your native or local people, you know, live in shacks and live, you know, and it's struggling. It's not just one or two of them. I mean, it's even the same thing in Kenya. You have neighborhoods just full of this impoverished Black people while everyone just live lavish in your African nation. So that's what I've been seeing over the, you know, the last 20 years since I've been traveling to Africa. And so, yeah, well, you can only do so much as a group and things like that. So you always have to cry out for, like, you know, the cry out for Africa, for the Africans.
Right on. Well, we're going to talk more about that because as you're speaking right now, I'm just visualizing, you know, some of the deep apartheid things or some of the deep divisions, not just in Southern Africa, but throughout Africa, you know. And we got a lot of work to do, dear brother. We really do. But I think one of the first things is to get our brothers and sisters to get over there, to see for themselves and see how, you know, what piece of that puzzle do they fit in at if they want to repatriate or if they just want to invest to try to help Africa become a reality for Africans, you know. So we'll be right back, brother. So you just hold tight, Brother Bomani. Okay? We'll be right back. All right. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Of course, my guest is Brother Bomani Tayemba of Africa for the Africans. We'll be right back. You stay with us. Yes, sir.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Nico's Groove. That's right, that's Nico's Groove with Ryan Bromberg. Outstanding piece. I love that piece. Got that off the jazz station here in Atlanta. Yeah. All right, dear brothers and sisters, you know we're talking today with Brother Bomani Tayemba of Africa for the Africans. And as Marcus Garvey said it best, Africa for the Africans at home and abroad. Man. You know.
Yes, Brother Oshi, yes. Absolutely. The journey continues. And Africa for those at home and abroad. Yeah? That's why we call the business Africa for the Africans, because that's a vision. That's us building, you know, building
yeah.
Our Black Power Nation, our motherland, and mm-hmm. yeah. I hear people, Oshi, this is one of the things I hear people say when, sometimes when I do a live show on our YouTube. These people call themselves ADOS and FBA.
Yeah.
They basically say that Pan-Africanism is a one-way show, and that the Africans on the continent don't believe in Pan-Africanism. But I would say whether so or whether not, you know, the main thing is that we have to build that connection, and we can't just be... You know, be nitpicking about every little thing. You know, there's people out there that we can find to work with. You know, we just
definitely,
put more time and energy into it. You know, some people are thinking that there's some kind of mothership that's supposed to come get them to take them to Africa. You know, it's us figuring it out. You know, and making it work. Is you know,
yeah.
But I'm down for the work and down for the movement, because it has to go down. It has to happen. You know, that's our. You know, we can't lose our. We can't lose our African connection to where when you go to Africa, all you see is white people all over Africa and Black people serving them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what you see in Southern Africa, and you see many parts of also, you know, East mm-hmm. Africa. But you don't see that so much in West Africa, and that's why we spend so much time focusing on trying to build a future in West Africa and get more work for this build, because
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, one of the incredible connections that we still have. You know, when all of us do our DNA, most of the countries or the different native groups are
right.
going to show up, you know, is going to be right there along the coast of West Africa. I've not seen anyone where their DNA shows anything from
East
other
Africa
parts of Africa, really.
Africa.
I'm not mm-hmm. saying that none of us have any connection to those other parts of Africa, but primarily it's, you know, it's West Africa.
Right.
And it's one of the least developed part of Africa, but it's also one of the realest part of Africa, one of the most cultural and incredible parts of Africa. So us, you know, really connecting can change the dynamics of it to where, you know, you can build an incredible region of this.
You know, well, my contention is that you united, and even though you are most correct, you know, many of the dungeons are located on the eastern shores of Africa. You know, departure points of departure and doors of no return, eastern portions of Africa. But there are also some Africans who were taken from East Africa, marched across those coffer lines all the way across, you know, and some left out of East Africa. So, I mean, you know, the bottom line is, you know, wherever it is, we start there and we move in the direction that we need to move to unite Africa. That is the ultimate goal, is a united Africa. You know, the Pan-African Federalist Movement, they want a United States of Africa. And that would be the greatest thing that could happen, is that we develop African sovereignty across that continent, that it is ours, you know, that it is ours, and the mineral wealth and all those things, it is ours. And we need to become players in the world instead of the pawns we've become, and we have the wealth to do it, where we don't have to ask anybody. That's the thing. You know, we've been begging for so damn long, it's all we feel like we're a bunch of beggars, you know? And we look to people outside of ourselves, because many of us have lost the ability or the understanding of who we are as an African people to nation build. So we have a lot of work to do, Brother Bomani, but like I said, I think the work that you're doing is vitally important, because you're just not talking about it.
It's not a course that you can go. No, you're physically getting brothers and sisters to cross that ocean and to land in on the continent and to see for themselves. And see, now, you know, I keep a track of when I go online, and I see there's a couple of pieces I say one of these guys are coming back to America. They want to leave Africa. It was and I can honestly say that not all things will be ideal, but you got to have patience, and they have to have patience. We have to have patience. We must make this work. You know, you wanting to leave Africa because it wasn't ideal for you, or you felt that the situation with Africans, you know, because their mindset is one way, and of course yours is another, because yours might be, I feel I'm better, just like it was when we came to Liberia. We feel the American Africans who were born here, who had been here for a few generations since the 1700s, and now here it is the late 1800s and or into the 20th century, and we're better because we were born here in America. And they felt that they were better because even though they weren't enslaved, but they were physically, because they were made to work in the countries of their birth, but yet they had no control, just like we had no control, you know. So I don't know, Brother Imani. I'm idealistic, man. I hope and pray that we wake up and begin to go on this journey to reclaim and recapture and restore our history and land and culture. You know, I'm serious about it. You know, I'm very serious about it, because that is our future.
Yes, but absolutely. That's so, you know, we just put 7 days a week work into it, and just keep working at it and keep looking to connect with people and, you know, and compete and let your voice be heard and keep working at it and just, you know,
because
an example and encouraging other people.
You know, what has happened in Southern Africa is happening in other African countries, where Caucasians or Chinese or Indians are taking good land and building communities independent of where they're living, and to the point that they are like sundown towns. You know, you can come there and work, you know, do some landscaping and so forth, but you better have your African ass out of there by sundown on African land, on African, you know. We can't do that anywhere, on anybody's land. We can't do it. Even if we had serious wherewithal, we can't do it. We can't stake a claim, you know, go to Europe. You think you can do that in Germany? You can go to, a bunch of us go to Germany, go to Berlin, and take a swath of community in Berlin and call it Little Africa? You think we could do that? Hell no. But they do it consistently on African soil. So, you know, and then we hear when situations come up, like what came up in the Ukraine, how we were treated, what comes up in China. Us being in China, we're disrespected, treated rudely. But the Chinese on the continent are treated fairly and respectfully until the time that they mess up. And even at that time, we may not be aware of some of the disrespect that they show our people on the continent. I've seen enough video of it. So, I mean, you know, when we look at Africa, we, as African people, damn going to Europe or anywhere else, or America or anything else, let us come together and build for ourselves on the continent. Let us be players in the world. Let us build. Yeah. Okay. I'm done with my my rant. But I believe.
Yes, but appreciate the energy.
Well, I'm serious. Yeah.
Keep building strong.
I appreciate that too, yours too, man, and all that you do, Brother Bomani. You know, but I'm, you know, as serious as I can be, but still the dynamic is there and it hasn't changed, and it's not going to change until we change it. Nobody's going to do it for us but us.
We definitely got to get our people involved. You know, let them know that, you know, all hands on deck. Mm-hmm. And that's what I see other nations doing. Their people are just devoted to their. You know, to them being a world power and them just, you know, dominating the world.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you can even look at their education system. You know, every time you turn around here, school is out. Right here in Georgia where you and I live.
Exactly.
And most of the places that you and I live at is, you know, it's primarily black people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you end up just, you know, wondering if, you know, the education system. I mean, I'm not saying that we should depend on the education system to get our children ready for the future, but it's still a part of their future. Mm-hmm. And that still influences some of their, you know, behaviors and mindset in the future. But I just don't feel like that system is doing anything to get them ready. So we just have to get our children, ready on this world and this global scale of this business, Pan-Africanism, and skills, trade, all those are wonderful things. So, you know, we have to just literally just find ways to make it work because, it's like the school system is like dumbing down the generation of children now to where it's like the education is just getting worse and worse. It's like you wonder, like, what are they really learning? Yeah, so.
Yeah. Yep, that's why it's important that we control the education of our children. We control everything that involves us. We cannot leave anything to the people who have historically hated us and still hates us and wants to eliminate us. We can't leave it to them. But yet we've been trained to trust them, to believe in them, and that, you know, it's sad, it's sickening. You know. Now, let's get back to the tours. The next upcoming tour is Liberia and Morocco, and I mentioned Liberia a number of times. That's
Liberia and Morocco. That's going to be our incredible, historical, exceptional journey of a lifetime. And I'm working with my partners here and there in Liberia, and just pushing and motivating all of them to just make it incredible as possible. We even have a beautiful 4-hour. Repatriation business and investment banquet for, you know, to where, you know, have different presenters. So looking to this really just connect beyond us roots and culture, just take it to another level of building that connection like we're building there in Ghana, building a Liberia-Ghana connection. So that journey is a perfect foundation to just set it off. And, mm-hmm. you know, we have a nice group of us. It's 16 of us. So look into this, make a nice impact and share it with the world.
Mm-hmm. Now, Morocco is more Indian. I'm not Indian, but Arab, correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Casablanca and so forth.
And that's a path through because we're flying on Royal Air Morocco, so the layover is in Morocco.
Okay.
And then coming back, so going and coming back, we have a layover there. So that's what we're doing. Just a short day trip for boat days in Casablanca. Mm-hmm. And that's a new experience for many of us.
Yeah, I know.
So that's the beauty of what we're building, just looking to explore Africa and, mm-hmm. Learn from different cultures in different parts of Africa and see what different people are doing. And everything is always going to go back to what we can do better in West Africa and how we can make West Africa that region of our reconnection and of our Pan-African future. Yeah, because we have to, you know, we have to start somewhere and build somewhere. So that's more ideal than any other part of Africa. And, you know, we can compete, you know, more efficiently. And people seem to have a better, they seem to have a better experience in West Africa, because I've taken people all across Africa to different countries, even those who just came back from Tanzania and South Africa. You know, when I, you know, when you ask them about the experience and, you know, to compare them to the other parts of Africa, they still choose and like the energy and the culture and the vibes in West Africa. So it seems to be an ideal place for us to really just, you know, build that foundation and keep on growing us, you know. So we're gonna link up all the different countries in West Africa and just build our presence. Other than that, I don't, you know, we can live in other parts of Africa, but I don't feel like we can really compete.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because it's so dominated by everybody else, and it's not domination that you can overcome.
See.
Because look at South Africa. South Africa is politically ran by the ANC, right? But the whole business sector and investment sector is dominated by just,
yeah, Caucasian,
you know, mainly just,
the Afrikaners.
Asians and, basically Asians and Europeans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, we have to be strategic when we talk about these things and make certain moves, because I know there's a flock of people running to South Africa, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't, and people there enjoying beautiful real estate, because it is a beautiful real estate and, you know, beautiful life as far as, you know, you still have wonderful communities that are predominantly are Black people, mm-hmm. and then some, you know, from the diaspora and some from other places. So, you know, very unique, beautiful country. But when you're trying to talk about us building the future and making a direct impact, you know, we have to be focused. We can't be scattered all over the place. So mm-hmm. people can still make their moves other places, but we still have to have a high impact focus on all the things that we can do in West Africa, including building infrastructure and building new developments and new investments and definitely more trade. You know, you're right here from you have the East Coast right there to West Africa, you know, and that's a nice connection.
You know, when you were talking about South Africa, it reminded me of a documentary I seen many, many years ago, where American Africans were leaving and moving to South Africa because some of the when they realized that Nelson Mandela was going to be the president of South Africa, many of these Caucasians could not fathom or did not want to live in a South Africa under African rule. And so they left. Some of them tore up their places that they, you know, so when they left, it was just in shambles. Some of them just left and they went back to England or they went back to Germany or they went back to Holland, you know, and American Africans moved into South Africa and got those places for a very good price, you know. And have you heard of that at all? Like I said, this documentary came out many, many years ago.
Yes, I'm familiar with documentaries, Black Without Borders, South Africa, and I think there's another name. But yeah, there's a few people that are pushing that energy, and from there you still have, you know, people nowadays still, you know, making that move. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's a nice, you know, nice attraction to South Africa, and I can see why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, because number one, if you've lived in the West, then it's like the West. It's a modern city.
Exactly.
You know.
And so for those Negroes who want that American West life, they move to South Africa.
Right.
So you find a lot of, I apologize for my terminology, bougie Negroes who leave in America, move to Africa, and they just want to live a lavish life. And that's
exactly.
It. Exactly. They're not kidding. Pan-Africanism is not their focus.
No.
Nation building is not their focus.
No.
Investing in Africa and doing things. Well, they're open to investment as long as it makes them rich and things like that. But right. They're just a different breed of Black people that, you know, they usually just probably just have issues with people like myself. But the thing of it is like, we got to build a future and build it, you know, to where it goes us beyond our own luxury and own lifestyle. And you know, so, I mean, if people are looking for that, they can flock there. And if you just want to, we can, you know, like our community, we have, you know, we're building our community. That community could be just an incredible beach town, beach community.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make it work. But it's like, if we just flock and just put all the investments in places like South Africa, a racist place like that, and not into in our true roots and connection, then we have a problem. But since we're not dependent on and just looking out, looking for this, you know, begging people to just do things with us, you know, we have to just practice, you know, Amos Wilson, Black Power, cooperative economics, put our money together, invest and do what we need to build little by little, and then we'll have all that luxury, you know, like greatness, and it'll be owned by us, and, you know, we don't have to just mingle with a whole bunch of white folks, because that's my issue. You're just in South Africa chilling, enjoying life, and it's just, they're everywhere. It definitely, when you go out to the safari, that's mainly them, but, you know, the reality of it is, you know, if that's the lifestyle in Africa that you want to live in America type base, then go for it. If you want to live more around your culture and more of the things that we want to build together as a people, then, you know, West Africa is just perfect along the coast, many different countries.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we should do. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And you know, it's nice to have these amenities and everything like that. But there are some people, just as you say, some Negroes who are perfectly well with me having all that I have at the expense of people who have nothing. You know, because that's what this country is. That's what Western society is, capitalistic society. The only way that capitalism works is that for me to have all that I have and wanting more, there's a whole bunch of people who can't have nothing. They can't have a damn thing. And that's perfectly all right with some people, man. You know? So, yeah. I'm looking at.
Yes, my brother. The journey continues.
Always, brother. It's always that struggle.
Yes,
it's always that struggle. Now, how many countries have you visited on the continent?
I visited 10 countries from 2004, first in March. To Senegal, and then Egypt in April, mm-hmm. and then in 2005 I visited a combination of countries: Senegal, South Africa, and also Kenya. Mm-hmm. And in 2006 I visited the Gambia and Ghana, so that's 6 countries. Then later on added Togo and Benin, 7 and 8, Ethiopia, 9, and Tanzania, 10. And so going to Liberia and Morocco will be country number 11 and 12.
Okay, right on.
And so that journey is dated from March 29th to April 9th. And we're going to make our way around incredible resorts and make our way around the coastline and just enjoy paradise and nightlife, networking, shopping, going to historical and cultural places and just do a typical journey of a lifetime. So looking to just record a whole lots of videos and take a whole lot of photos where anyone who ever want to see our documentation, once you're on our website, africaforthafricans.org, all the social pages, all the links are all there to where you can see all the previous documentation, especially on YouTube. Is this 4,000 videos of just us all over Africa over the last decade and a half.
Right on.
So the next journey that we're proceeding to is Ghana, July 11th to the 23rd, 2024. That's my. This will be our 24th journey to Ghana, from 2006 all the way to now. Mm-hmm. So basically, we have done a bunch of multiple times per year in Ghana. So that's been our biggest just energy of people that want to come to Africa and just explore the roots. So it covers all bases of just reconnecting to Africa, and you know we're also incredible business conference. That people who live there, do business there. We talk about real estate, the legality. So we have a legal team presented to this, explain the laws of how things work. So you're just basically giving everybody all of the information they need to just make proper decisions and just get themselves involved in the country and just build a future. Mm-hmm. And then we have our community, Black Star Pan-African community, where people are building their homes and we're building a true community to where, it's just a nice, Pan-African community where you have Black people from all over the world living there. So that's always just a work in progress as you just build what you need to build versus just running to other people who build what you need, and then they just getting rich off you. So might as well just invest in ourselves.
Right.
So,
right.
Then the African Holocaust, from the last bath to African Holocaust dungeons, take people back in time and just reconnect to our ancestors, pay homage, make our way over to Kumasi, this incredible cultural and historical district, town history, and from going to the Ashanti Palace to making your way around Kumasi. Just, everything that we talk about, Black people and roots and culture, it's all right there. So that's why Ghana is just so popular. Yeah. And majority of our journeys, from big journeys to small journeys, have been right there in Ghana. So looking to do it again and just make a nice, exceptional connection. And then we're going to proceed to Egypt in November. And that's a nice journey along the Nile Valley, from Cairo to Luxor to Aswan to Aswan to Abu Simbel, to even going closer to the Red Sea in Hurghada. And this is a nice, incredible package setup, and that's all the way at the end of November. And then we're back in South Africa again for December 24th to January 4th journey. Johannesburg, Soweto, Johannesburg, and Cape Town. So that's our 2024 journey right there, brother. Right. And actively just getting everything ready. And, just like we completed that incredible journey last year from Senegal and Gambia in April to Ghana in May to Tanzania in November and South Africa in December. So 5 countries, 4 journeys, same thing this year. Some of the countries are different, but it's 4 journeys and 5 countries. So looking forward to this, sharing with the world another great connection as we just primarily just always look to just document information. So this is my 28th year just in Africa traveling and documenting everything that we do and sharing it publicly with the world from 2004 to 2024.
Outstanding, dear brother. Outstanding what you have done over these many years. You, in your guesstimate, how many people have traveled with you from the beginning to up to this time? Would you say?
Closer to proximity to this, well over 600, and just maybe somewhere under 700.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we got some callers here. Let me take this
call. Yes, ready for them.
Brother Ted, Brother Lusk.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie and Brother Bamami. It's a pleasure talking with
great
you.
Has your
travels brought you to Madagascar any at all, or had you ever planned to extend your travels to Madagascar?
Yes, unfortunately, I don't even have it on the view and things like that. Limited to movements, but we have to focus on the countries that we have in place and keep building relationships.
Very good, very good. Well, all the very best to you. It's, I guess, a matter of time, money, and energy and effort to gather myself together to go across the Atlantic to experience it and front and center. So all the very best to you and your endeavors, brother.
Absolutely. And if you have a group of people, like, 10 or more, we can definitely take them to Madagascar. That's what we do, but it's always based on interest and people that you have.
Yes, yes. Very good. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for picking my call.
All right, brother. All right, Brother Love. Thank you.
Still listening. All right.
Peace. Caller. Good afternoon, caller. I don't know who's on this line. Hello. Good afternoon, caller. Okay.
This is
Hello. Good afternoon, caller.
This is Nobantu. Are you hearing me?
Yeah, I can hear you very well, Mama.
Nobantu. Greetings, are you? Nobantu.
Greetings, Bomani. Glad to hear your voice again. I was just curious to see were you able to get in contact with Brother Putu with the Liberian trip.
No, I wasn't able to get in touch with him. I want to say I did text him, but I'll definitely follow up with him since I've been back just looking to follow up with as many people as possible. But our Liberia journey is on the move, so I would definitely connect with him and see if he's going to be around. And we see how it goes. We do our best to connect and network with as many people as possible.
Yeah, they did a Liberian Renaissance at the New Black Wall Street, and there were people there asking how can they get to Liberia, or are there any trips going to Liberia? So I would certainly make an effort to really try to reach him. I know he's busy moving around, but he's here now. He's not in Liberia. So he lives
yeah,
here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know me, I'm always texting and calling people, but, you know, you're always hoping for people also. You know, be interactive in the communication. But definitely, you know, one of the things we do a lot is follow-up and more follow-ups. So I'll definitely follow up with him again. And if you could just repeat his name one more time.
Putu, P-U-T-U, and it's okay, I'll send you a number.
Oh, absolutely. Anyone can get my number, Putu. I'll even just give him a quick text.
Mm-hmm.
And they were definitely connected. So I definitely appreciate it and also the follow up.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for what you're doing.
Absolutely, man. So, how's everything been? Any reflection of your journey to Tanzania? Because it's so many things we experience.
I talk about the trip all the time, especially going to Zanzibar. It was a great trip. I enjoyed it. And I would certainly recommend folks to take that trip, you know, because I've had some people that have gone, but they didn't get to Zanzibar. So I would suggest that they go again. I've given your information out to several people who are interested in going on some of the trips. I'm not sure if they contacted you or not, but yeah, at least two or three people have been asking. So, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I was looking out for calls and everything and people reach out and connections. And also last journey, we were able to visit Pete O'Neill, so that worked out well. So appreciate this reminding us. And so I actually just made sure I put it on the schedule and made sure we got there. So I got the videos of us talking with him. It's a few videos there. And it's a rough road to get to, but we made sure we got there. So, a great greeting and connection.
Right.
And he was excited to meet the group.
Oh, I'm sure he was. And the compound there. Oh, man. I took some, pictures, but I'm sure you got it on your website.
Oh, yeah. So, I got a lot of videos up, and I'm about to put the rest of the pictures up.
Okay.
On the YouTube. That's where I post all the videos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so was listening, they can always check out our YouTube channel, and it's Bomani 2007, and you do any search, you'll find it. But once you're on the page, you'll see all of the countries in playlists and this, all the videos.
Okay, was Charlotte there?
No, unfortunately, she wasn't there. She was in Ghana on business.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, I'm glad you got a chance to bring that group there, because it's a beautiful site, a beautiful compound.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And we're always open to great experience, and that was a great experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wonderful. What about the museum? Did y'all go there, too?
Which one? We usually go to the Arusha Decoration Museum, the Natural Museum, and then in Dar es Salaam, the National Museum, and then the Village Museum. But those are the four museums that we went to.
Oh, okay. All right, just curious.
Unless you're talking about on Pete O'Neill's site, because we did make our way around. We're there for a while.
Oh, yeah. No, I was talking about the one that was like five stories. Five levels, I think it was.
Oh, I got you. The Arusha Cultural Heritage Center. So yes, the last journey we went on it also went there also, but we didn't have as much time as we did at this time. So we was able to just see a whole lot more. So I also got some nice videos of the Arusha Heritage Cultural Center.
Oh yes, it's a really beautiful art center. Yeah.
So yes, we just try to cover as much as possible and to show everyone as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, take care, my brother. Be safe out there.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right, Mama Nabantu. Thank you very much, my dear. All
right. I appreciate it. Right. Take care.
Okay.
All right.
So,
yes, my brother.
Your trips seem to be very affordable, as opposed to some of the things that I have seen know, especially like,
what exactly have you seen?
Well, I've seen some of our scholars, you know, who offer trips, you know, and they're well into the 5,000-6,000s, you know, and I don't know if that's because
maybe they have some secret charges involved.
Yeah, it could be. It could be, you know, but yours seems to be very affordable. You know, you put the money down and say, for instance, for a trip that's going to be next year, say I want to go to Azania, you know, and same time frame, December 24th to January 4th, 2025. And I put, you know, whatever the minimal amount is or whatever the amount I put down and I start paying on it. But that locks me in at that fare, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. See, and so even though the cost, because the cost changes all the time, there's all kinds of dynamics that where that happens, and it says all prices for tours and land investments are subject to change until you make a deposit, you know.
Exactly.
And it's understandable because supply chain issues and all kind of other issues, it goes up. But if I'm locked in at 48, where somebody else now has to pay 5,000 or 5,500, you know, which would be $700 more for that trip, which is unfortunate for them, but still, and that's even still probably a good price, you know. So, and all the other ones too, you know. You know, I've been, you know, announcing you, Africa for the Africans. Oh man, since I've been doing Time for an Awakening, and I've been doing Time for an Awakening now. I've been here 10 years. Be 10 years I've been here in October, and I would say at least 7 years I've been doing Time for an Awakening. So I've been announcing, and I remember when I first came to hear you make a presentation, you know.
Oh yes, in the West End.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
Yes. That's what we do. We just make our way around, online to local to, you know, wherever, and just present, share information.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with you one time, you know, but I used your website the last time I went to Ghana, you know, back in 2019 for the paperwork and the shots and so forth, you know.
The itinerary?
Yep. The information is there. That's what I'm saying for brothers and sisters. If you don't want to go and you got something that you have a way to get to Ghana, but the information is right here on this website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Now, you mentioned Kemet coming up this year, November 21st to December 2nd. And then, of course, at the end of the year, once again, a trip to Azania. December 24th to January 4th, 2025. And both of those are very affordable. The Kemetic trip is $4,500 and the Azania trip is $4,800. Somebody can put their money down, lock into that fare, and begin to pay on it. And because we're at the beginning of this year, if you started to do that, you would have paid off the trip. You're ready to go. You got some spending money and so forth and so on. And, you know, you would be excited. I know I would, you know, especially going. I want to go back to Kemet. I've been before, you know, and you mentioned some of the places that I'm, you know, like Abu Simbel. To me, if you don't go to Abu Simbel, that's just like going to Paris and not going to the Eiffel Tower, you know.
Exactly. So, you know, we make sure all the historical and cultural parts of where every country that we go to is on the itinerary.
Yeah.
And that's the beautiful thing about the journey for a lifetime.
Yeah.
It takes you to, you know, it takes you throughout time, around the African continent and throughout time.
Mm-hmm.
And then also this, you know, plot of future for us.
Yes. You know. So when you go to Azania, what cities you go to? I mean, I know you go to Soweto And
Johannesburg, Soweto, Pilanesberg is where we do the safari, which is outside of Johannesburg.
Okay.
And also Cape Town.
Okay.
So we take a flight from Johannesburg to Cape Town. So the sequence of the flight works, Delta Airlines from Atlanta directly to Johannesburg. And then while we stay in Johannesburg for 5 nights, we make our way around everywhere else, and then we just take that flight on South African Airways to Cape Town. And then we spend 4 nights in Cape Town, from Robben Island to Table Mountain to Langa Township to District 6 Museum, to just enjoying the beauty of the waterfront, and just make our way around, on the cable car to Table Mountain. Mm-hmm. So a beautiful historical and cultural journey. And make our way back directly from Cape Town to Atlanta on Delta Airlines.
Okay.
So that's our route.
Okay. You don't go there's to
all that sequence, you don't go to, you know, you don't, to put together and make work.
You don't go to Durban.
No, we don't go to Durban. I'm still trying to find out what's in Durban other than surfing and the beautiful beaches.
Okay.
And someone say something about a Zulu village, but it's you only have 9 days, so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I should say 9 nights, so that's our limitation. And when you're in Johannesburg and Cape Town, you want to spend some time, because we have a half a day. We just go in Soweto, and we did a nice little night, night jam in Soweto. So those are videos I'm looking to put up, and it's a whole lot of videos from that I'm looking to show. So beautiful video shot in 4K and HK HD.
Okay.
Ready for people to watch and mm-hmm. watch on their big screen and see more of Africa that they've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have specialized in for 2 decades. This exploring and showing Africa, this showing the beauty, the culture, the history, and so on.
Right on. I know that's a long ways from Johannesburg to Cape Town, isn't it? It's like crossing that Johannesburg to Cape Town.
Yeah,
it's crossing the U.S.
Flight. It's a 12-hour flight. That's it's worth the money to just pay for the flight. So that's what we do. We plot out logistics so you can just have more time enjoying the country. So just like Tanzania before, from ferryboat to domestic flight, we make our way around. So we don't do a bunch of long driving. But in Ghana, we're a nice big tour bus that'll take you around the entire country in luxury.
Right on.
So different, different itineraries, different logistic operation, but that's what we do. We specialize in operations and logistics and movements and accommodations.
So when you go to Tanzania, do you go to Zanzibar?
Yes, 3 nights in Zanzibar.
Oh, wow.
So
How was Zanzibar?
That was nice. We actually just went out to Stone Town and spent a day there. Visit all the historical and cultural sites on the African Holocaust, to shopping and enjoying fine dining, to making our way around the different streets and the different historical museums. And then we spend most of our time there on the beach. So we have a nice beach resort, enjoy dining, enjoy this sporting events and water sports. And then just have our nice little villas, where we just enjoy our time. So we were there in Kenwa Beach, and that was Sunset Kenwa was the resort. So that was just a perfect energy. Only issue is that everywhere we went is just basically we were the only black people that were just enjoying holiday along with just a few individuals. Mm. So that's one of the things, but it's unfortunate. But, we had a great time, I'd love to see more of us there, but unfortunately, Tanzania is one of those places where there's have a high level of just white tourists. Mm-hmm. So you see them everywhere, like roaches in there, one of those raggedy apartments.
Tanzania. Yeah. What about in Kenya? Did you go to Kenya?
It's been about 20 years since about 19 years since I've been to Kenya. Last time I was there was like 2005.
Okay.
But, Kenya was always a nice, special place. And, you look to this, working on our itinerary sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
But, I haven't been in a while. Since we've been going to Tanzania, that's all we've been going to, like, November 2020 all the way to November 2023. Mm-hmm. So, but next year I got, you know, I got Brazil on the schedule for November. So,
and right, you got Brazil. Taking. You got Brazil. You're going to go to Salvador Bahia.
Yes, four nights in Salvador Bahia and four in also Rio de Janeiro.
Okay,
so that schedule is also up.
Mm-hmm. And beautiful.
So we have the full schedule for 2024 to 2025.
Beautiful. Yeah, I've seen that.
So it's, you know, so if anyone is interested, you know, the schedule is there, the information is there. The main thing is that I recommend is that they just take their time and look through all the information bit by bit and just be clear on it. Then they can just reach out and we can just get them all set and all ready.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Okay, I got a caller here. Good afternoon, Mr. Good afternoon, Butler, D.C. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Khalib? Okay. If you want to talk, of course, you hit star twice, and that'll let you in. You hit star twice, that'll let you in.
Yes, caller, we're ready for you.
All
right. I hope you're ready for the journey of a lifetime.
All right. Khalib?
We are ready to take you across Africa.
Khalib Butler, DC call. There's a few other callers that called in and then they went away, but it's okay. I'm glad. Well, listen, brother, we're at the top of the hour. I want to thank you once again, Brother Bomani, for all that you do and the number of people that you have taken to a trip of a lifetime, and you continue to do so, and you do it in a manner of in the importance of bringing us together. Bringing us together, not just in a social setting, bringing us together as a people to share, to spend money with one another, to invest with one another. You know, it is this is ours, and yet so many people are taking it because we've refused to come together to do what is necessary to make it happen for us. So that's right now. But it is going to change, and because of what you're doing, that helps facilitate that change, Brother Bomani. Any last words, my dear brother?
Yes, my brother. Yes, for those who are interested in traveling with us to Africa, you can just visit our website at africafortheafricans.org and then view all the information. And then you can just reach out and connect with me at 404-931-9429.
Okay. And of course, those who listen to this program know that, because I do it every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, brother. I promote you because you deserve to be promoted. You deserve to get brothers and sisters to come on these trips of a
lifetime.
Yes,
brother, appreciate the love and the energy.
Always, man, always. So we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahadie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. See you on Friday, family. Peace.